Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello there, Frankenstein.
Hello, Master.
Excellent, I see you are doing well in the cell.
Yep.
That's great. Anyway, I need you to go murder some children.
What?
They have an amulet, you see. I need you to go murder them.
Well, that's...
Get it for me.
That's really sad. That means I'm going to have to say goodbye in chat to Twitch stream of Velaris, who I'm currently watching.
Whoa.
Oh, bye-bye, I've got to go. Exclamation mark alert.
I love it. Hi!
Oh, hello there! What are you doing here? Wow!
Oh, wow.
Don't mind me.
I wasn't watching a stream. They were in the room the whole time. I don't know.
Whoa! Well, you are Frankenstein. I don't think you understand how streams work. Anyway.
I'm from the 18th century.
That's the fact. All right, you two will be excellent. You can both go get the amulet for me. Excellent. Now, I've got to go blow up something. I love dynamite, as is canon.
And ripping off the back door of cars?
Oh, yeah, he did do that, didn't he? He ripped off the boot. I remember that.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to Oldie But the Goodie, the show where I get to do the Dracula voice. And nobody complains.
We review movies from 1987 in the order they came out in. My name is Sandro. That Dracula voice is played expertly by Zach. Well done. And we're joined this week from Twitch by Velaris. How are you going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you both?
Pretty good. Got to watch a pretty decent movie.
Yeah,
pretty solid.
I'm great.
Now, you're a big horror fan. Had you seen or heard of this movie before?
I am a huge horror fan. And surprisingly, no, I hadn't. Which it really took me aback when I had started looking into it and seen how many people like grew up with the movie and loved it. So I was kind of shocked I'd never heard of it.
It's not super horror-y, though. Mm. So I think it's not like goes into those like slasher films sort of, you know, it's yeah, there's a bit of blood, there's a bit of things, but it's more like a kids horror, you know.
Oh, it's definitely a kids
movie.
Yeah, I mean Dracula just blows people up. I don't think he ever sucks anyone's blood.
No, there's one scene because he has that closet of women, which I was okay. And they come back as vampires. So he does turn people into vampires at one point, but that was about it.
There is a lot of this movie that felt like it was cut out as well. It was very short, which is good. I like short movies.
Yes, it was good. It was very to the point.
But tell us a little bit about what you do over on Twitch.
So I mainly play a little game called Dead by Daylight, but I also do a bit of horror variety as well. So mostly at the moment I'm playing through the Resident Evil series, which took me a long time to get to. currently making my way through Resident Evil 4 as well as Dead by Daylight.
How far into 4 are you at this point?
I've heard that it's a bit of a longer game, so I'm not 100% sure, but... we have, spoiler alert, sorry, there was a giant fish that we, have gotten rid of.
Oh, right. So would you say it's similar to this film with the fish quantity?
The giant fish, yeah.
Did you have a moment where you were like, Horace, like, my name's Horace, chick.
That was so good.
This fish man?
That was so good. Oh my God, yes, big yes. We actually nicknamed it Nessie after the Loch Ness Monster.
That's good.
For lack of a better name. But we passed that, and then we just entered the castle as well. So without going too far into spoilers, we're in a castle now in Resident Evil.
Nice.
Well, there you go.
There'll be links in the description to check that out. And now let's talk about the Monster Squad. Zach, you chose it.
Yeah. I love monsters. That's weird because usually the Dracula, werewolf, Frankenstein, Mummy, and whatever that fish guy is called. they're all referred to as the Monster Squad. So I was like, oh yeah, I love these boys. Let's get in there.
Yeah, the title and the picture I'm using for this episode very much suggests that the villains are the Monster Squad, but in the canon of the movie, it's the kids. But also, we'll probably just call the monsters the Monster Squad.
The Monster Squad versus the Monster Squad. Yes,
exactly.
That could never be confusing.
You could call them the League of Extraordinary Kids. But the other options that you had this week, other films that came out back in 1987 during this week that you could have chosen, there were quite a few. You had one called Can't Buy Love, about a nerd that gives this cheerleader $1,000 to pretend to be his girlfriend for a month.
That sounded awful.
That was Disorderlies. A gambler tries to speed up the death of his millionaire uncle by hiring a bunch of inept orderlies, which sounds not good.
That sounded like slapstick. Yep, the movie.
Eat the Rich looked okay. A British satire about a bunch of people trying to take over an exclusive London club. Apparently it's not great, but it looked alright. It looked alright. There was also No Way Out. A Navy officer has an affair with someone's wife, then she's found dead, and everyone's like, who did it? And also the North Shore movie about pro surfing.
Yeah, I definitely picked the best one of these options, which is unusual. Normally it's not the case, but this week I managed to pick the better one.
I doubt that you've seen any of those, right, Val?
That's right, I haven't seen any of them. They all sound very 80s, though. I love it.
Now, Monster Squad was released August 14th. It's directed and co-written by Fred Decker, who did this comedy horror film the year before called House.
Ooh.
He also wrote and directed Robocop 3.
Ooh, okay.
Which is a movie.
All right.
Also a cult classic film called Night of the Creeps, which is apparently not too bad. He also did episodes of Star Trek Enterprise, which is probably the worst one, but good on him.
Oh, hey! Wait a minute!
He co-wrote the movie with Shane Black, that guy who was making inappropriate jokes and also was the script doctor of Predator. He co-wrote it with that guy, the guy that also did Lethal Weapon in 87, which we really should do on Patreon at some point. I feel like that's a film we should get to.
We should probably cover that movie, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fun fact, they both, Fred Decker and Shane Black, wrote the 2018 Predator movie, which Shane Black directed. So they keep working together after this film.
There you go.
That's a really fun fact.
It's a pretty small cast on this one, so not too much to say here. The main kid, Sean, is played by Andre Gower. He did a lot of rounds as a TV child actor during the 80s, retired in 89. He directed a documentary in 2018 about the Monster Squad. It's called Wolfman's Got Nards. Directed
That's a great title. That's hilarious.
Unfortunately, just last month, he did suffer a pretty big heart attack and almost died. There's a GoFundMe that I've linked in the description to help him and his family cover the medical bills. It's about halfway done.
Oh.
So I'm just going to drop that in the description. It's legit. I checked. I'm wishing him the best and the same for all his family, which is a big shame.
Yeah,
definitely. I hope he's okay.
But, Zach, here's the thing, right? You don't like child actors.
I don't like bad child actors.
Well, that's probably a better way to put it.
But this was pretty good. I don't know about you guys, but I thought they were quite admirably acting. Except for the little girl, who was more endearing that she was trying her hardest. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because her lines were so wild and funny, I feel like it wasn't her fault that you were taken out of the film. The lines were so funny, they automatically took you out of the film anyway, so she wasn't really taken away anything. So I quite like the acting in this film.
Yeah, I thought all the acting was pretty good. Like, overall, even to the monsters, I thought they all just did really well and just kind of, I don't know, it was like a really cool way that they've kind of just paid respect to, like, the likes of Dracula and Frankenstein and all the fun stuff. I don't know, I just thought everyone did a really good job.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
And the kids as well, they definitely reminded me a little bit of the 90s. Is it 90s? The It TV movie with Tim Curry. They kind of reminded me of that cast, which was nice.
Yes, they did.
That was good. This gets compared a lot to the Goonies.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like, you know, yeah, they have the same level of sort of acting sort of stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I see that.
For the Monster Squad, we got Dracula, played by Duncan Regger, who was Zorro in the 90s TV show. That's the main thing he's done. Tom Noonan is Frankenstein's monster. He's from RoboCop 2, also in the TV show 12 Monkeys most recently. And John Grease plays the Wolfman, who is Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite. So, all-star cast for the monsters as well. For the reception, 60% on Rotten Tomatoes. Audience score is 78%. Very high. Yeah, everyone was like, it's pretty good kids horror, but adults will get a pretty big kick out of it as well.
Yeah. They'll like it when the tiny child says chicken shit.
Yeah.
It's great.
But it cost $12 million. Now, one thing we like to do is we'd like to guess how much it made, particularly in America. I've only got the US box office numbers here. But Val, how much do you think this might have made off $12 million budget?
Oh, man. Okay. I should start by saying I'm terrible with numbers. So this could be way out of the ballpark altogether. I'm going to go and guess, say, 90 million that they made.
90?
Yeah.
That's a good guess. 90 million. That's a good one. Now, the thing is, do I want to go higher or lower?
Because
I could just say closest wins, right? So I could go 89.
Well, that would be a bit rude, though, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be rude? But it would be optimal. I like this film. I'm gonna give it even bigger praises. Ooh. I'm gonna go boom. I'm gonna go $200 million. Yes.
Well, we got guesses of 90 and 200. The US box office for this movie was $3.8 million.
Oh. Oh no. Really?
Look, it kind of bumped.
Oh no.
It probably made it back on VHS sales and like rentals and TV reruns and stuff, but didn't do too well in the theaters.
Yikes.
Finally, before we jump into the synopsis, there are a bunch of taglines. Taglines from the 80s, they're great. Taglines for this movie, also great. I got four of them. You got to give them a thumbs up or a thumbs down. The first one is, "The end of the world starts at midnight."
Okay. I mean, look, and it doesn't really tickle my fancy, you know? That could mean anything at this point. I mean, obviously, we know what it means now that we've watched the film, but that doesn't really get me into the film. I'm gonna give this a thumbs down. No, I hate this one. This one sucks.
I'm going to give it a thumbs up just based on how Dracula-y it is.
Well, that's true.
Stays very true to the character, in my opinion, so I give it a thumbs up.
The second one is, "Never send a man to do a kid's job." I feel like my voices are sabotaging these taglines.
They're so good.
This one I liked more because it's got that right level of dumb pun that all taglines should have, where it's like, haha, here's this common phrase, but I've switched it around. And it's more relevant to the movie and makes me interested. I'm going to give this one a thumbs up.
I agree. I think I'd have to also give it a thumbs up for the pretty much the same reason and the reason as before. It's just very, very Dracula, but also kind of like Dracula trying to make a joke at the same time. I just love it. I love it. I love cheesy horror lines, so I'm sold. Mm. Thumbs up.
Dracula has bitten off more than he can chew. They were going to do it. You knew from the start of the movie that was going to be one of the taglines.
That is, oh my god. Okay, give it an angry thumbs up.
It's a pun, so it's an auto double thumbs up for me.
Yeah,
easy
yeah.
Double thumbs up.
That's bad.
It's so bad, it's good.
Well, speaking of so bad, it's good, the final tagline.
Oh, no.
"You know who to call when you have ghosts, but who do you call when you have monsters?"
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
Big thumbs down. I hated that. No. Don't reference other movies. What are you doing?
I have to end it on a double thumbs up again. It's just so bad, it's good. It surpassed the bad threshold that is just back to amazing.
It's not even the same production company. They're just giving another movie free advertisement. Well, we'll jump to the movie synopsis. Spoilers ahoy, we're spoiling everything. And you know what? This is one of those rare movies that I would say check it out before listening if you want.
It's actually important this time that we warn you because the movie's actually worth watching.
It is, definitely.
Which is unusual.
So it starts off with some Princess Bride-esque looking text.
Yeah, we got some nice red bold font telling us about Abraham Van Helsing's freedom fighters that are trying to rid the world of all vampires. But unfortunately, they blew it, as it so tells. What do you think of the font, Sandra?
It's red. It's vampire font.
Yep,
it's good. The "they blew it" joke was so out of the blue that I was like, okay.
Yeah. It was good.
Kind of made you feel like it was going to be more of a comedy. Well, it is a pretty funny movie, actually, so it is probably a comedy.
It travels the line of goofy and serious quite well, I feel.
Yes, it does. I think it really does too. Especially being that it seems as though it was pretty much made as a kids' comedy horror movie. So I think, like, all in all, they tried to, like, start it off with being like, hey, this is exactly what it is. This is what you have to expect from the movie.
Although after that, we do see the bat turning into Dracula, which isn't too graphic, but I was like, ooh.
I was impressed. It's always the halfway transformation things that are the, like, things that impress you, you know? A bat's not going to impress you. Dracula, a man dressed up as Dracula is not going to impress you. It's the halfway. It's the, like, when the vampire bat's hand, like, changed from wing to, like, more hand. I was a bit like, oh, that's pretty good.
Can I just say as well, that makeup was so spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
It was so good. I'm a big like makeup fan, especially when it comes to character creation and, like, monster creation and stuff. So that was just so good. And the makeup throughout it as well, especially, sorry to jump ahead, but when it comes to, like, Wolfman and that, it was just done so well.
Oh, absolutely.
I could talk about that forever. It was just everything about the makeup and how they stayed true to the characters and done that was just amazing.
Yeah, I love Fishman's eyeballs, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I stared at those when he was on screen because I was like, damn, those look pretty terrifying. For his 2 seconds on screen. Yeah.
It was so good.
What about the zombie things, the skeleton things that we see right after this that pop out of the ground as Van Helsing's storming the castle? What did you think of those?
They were fun. They were a really nice addition, I think. They just, like, I think it just started to set, like, where the movie was going to be going and how many different, I guess, like, horror originals, I guess we could call them, that they would, like, pay respect to. So I think it was, I don't know, it was just a lot of fun. It's just the movie being from the 80s just stayed true to the 80s, I guess, era of movie. And it was just also good.
Yeah, this definitely really set the tone for the movie because Van Helsing explodes the door off and they do that a lot in the movie. There's a lot of explosions for some reason.
There are a lot of explosions.
Van Helsing loves dynamite. Dracula loves dynamite. Dynamite. It just gets the job done. You want to blow something up? Dynamite.
Dynamite everything.
So they see this amulet and they bring out this young German girl to start reading from this magical book. And then the amulet turns into a portal and sucks everyone up.
A void.
Yeah.
Like a black hole almost. It's just sucking everything up.
And again, like, we've seen a lot of weird CG effects this year, Zach, and this is one of the best effects I think we've seen, like, superimposed images onto a movie. It looks really good.
Yeah. You could barely tell. It was really well done. The only problem was when stuff moved, it had that classic 80s, like, CGI where there's the outline of the object as it got sucked into the portal.
Yeah.
For everything. But other than that, yeah, it was great.
Well, Van Helsing's dead. What an intro. They really did blow it.
Haha. Or did he?
Ooh.
Because he'd opened up the thing, which we know later on in the film is what you're supposed to do. So
yeah, what was their plan?
I'd never explained. Open the portal. That's it. That's the plan. That's all the plan is.
They didn't really, they never really explained too much into that part of it. They just, opened it.
Maybe Van Helsing was more like, oh, I could get rid of the monsters, but it's a lot of work. I'm just going to go enjoy vacation in this thing.
I'm hopping in here. See you later, lads.
See you on the flip side.
Yeah. But we cut to present day. By present day, of course, I mean the 80s.
The present 80s, yeah.
Present 80s. We're introduced to our wide cast of characters. Who have we got, Val? Who's on the Monster Squad?
So there was the Wolfman. I don't know if as well that they had other names besides like Wolfman and Gillman and stuff. So I'm just gonna call them that. But yeah, we had Wolfman, we had Gillman, we had the Mummy as well. Frankenstein's, yeah, he was a little bit
monster.
Later.
It's very important. Yeah. They even go in the movie, they're like, what is Frankenstein? And is he Frankenstein or Frankenstein's monster?
I love that.
I know, even I don't know what to say now.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had all of them.
What about the other Monster Squad?
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's two Monster Squads.
That's it. The Monster Squad showdown.
There's a dog.
The dog! Oh, I love the dog.
How did the dog get up here?
The dog's the real hero of this movie. That's going to be a teleporting dog, right?
He is.
It just teleports everyone.
Yeah, the dog got rid of the boy's Twinkie because it's bad for him. It's bad for his health.
It was good.
He's just trying to help out.
Yeah, we see all of them getting together. They're like resurrecting Frankenstein. This monster thing out of a swamp.
There's the school where we see the kids. They're in trouble. We see two kids. Two of the part of the Monster Squad.
The other Monster Squad.
Because they were caught drawing a spider with a human's head in science class.
Oh, how naughty of them.
How dare they? Because don't you know, I think science is cool. I dig it, man.
That was amazing. That took me so off guard. I did get a good giggle from that.
I dig it, man. I'm totally hip with the fly, yo.
That teacher was great.
Yeah.
So those kids are Sean, who's the main character. His dad is a cop. That's important. And then there's the other one who's got the sister who's important, and I don't think we ever get his name. There's a lot of characters who never really get named in this movie.
No, they're just kind of there and you recognize them.
Yeah.
There's Horace. He gets named.
Horace eventually gets a name. Horace is this larger kid who is getting picked on constantly, and it's only 8 minutes into the movie where we get our first homophobic slur.
Yes, it's like, oh, 80s, no.
It only happens in the kids' movies.
Yeah, it's because the kids are more mean than adults.
I'm glad that those bullies kind of got some form of...
Yeah, Rudy shows up, my favourite character, my boy. The cool kid, Rudy.
He was such a stereotypical cool kid.
Rudy, yeah, but he was actually cool in the film.
Yeah.
Unlike other films I've seen where there's the cool kid, because that's the stereotype, right? He's got the leather jacket, he's got glasses, he smokes, but he's like 15. But other movies just are like, he's the cool kid, so he's cool. Where in this movie, I would say he earns his cool kid status by doing cool things. Like making the bullies eat the chocolate bar that they stepped on earlier.
Yeah.
It's like, take that. Bit of justice, you know? He is a bit of a perv, unfortunately.
He is. That was what I was going to bring up. I was like, I think part of that might take away from the coolness.
Yes, it definitely does. It definitely does. But it's vital to the plot, so...
Yeah.
Actually, no, it isn't, because at the end they don't even need her, which is just the worst bit.
So Rudy helps Horace out with these bullies and is then invited to join the Monster Club. Maybe we'll call them the Monster Club and the baddies the Monster Squad.
I preferred it when we were completely confused as to which one we were referring to at the time.
They also walk past this spooky house, Val. What's in the spooky house? Who lives there?
What did his name end up being? He never
got named.
Scary German guy.
Yeah, he never got a name. They were just so scared of him, but he comes around in the end. And what was his famous line? I am not so scary after all. Or he says something along those lines when they end up getting his help. I actually really enjoyed his character. He was really cool.
Man, you sure know a lot about monsters. You know what? I sure do. And then it shows his arm where he's from Auschwitz. That was 2 seconds of his backstory, and you're like, whoa, okay.
There's a lot of that in this movie, though, where they don't really explain any characters' backstories or anything. It's the same with, like, Sean's parents and how they're kind of arguing. You just get one line, which is the sister being like, are you going to yell at him? And the mum's like, no, look, I love your dad. And then the sister's like, I was talking about my bully brother.
Yeah, what the, what?
And that tells you all that you need to know about the family dynamic.
it's not really explained why their family is, like, having problems or anything besides that dad is in the police. It's not really explained too much further than that. But I guess for the movie to go where it does towards the end and like that, I guess it almost kind of needs to be that way to a degree, but at the same time it doesn't. So it's a bit weird that they took it there.
Yeah.
Without any real explanation.
We see Dracula in an airplane and he punches a guy. I wrote down, Dracula does a little punch.
He does slap around people. He makes a little noise and the guy comes back and is like, well, where's that stupid... Because I think he sees the bat. And so he's like, well, where's this stupid bat? I'm going to get this bat. And then turns around and Dracula's there. And he's like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I better throw him out the airplane. So he opens the hatch below, but Dracula, he can fly.
That was cool.
Whoa.
That was very cool. But eventually the Monster Club, they get a book, a present.
The book is from the mansion where Dracula lives.
Wasn't that like 666 Shadow Street or something?
Yes. Yeah. It was something dumb like that.
So yeah, they've got this book as well, which is important for later, but first, Val, the dad's got to go to the police station. What's happening over there?
He does indeed. They are getting... was that when they started to get the phone calls about...
Yeah.
It was then? Okay. It was when they started to get the phone calls, and I believe when he turns up too that there is a man already at the police station saying that he is... that he needs to be locked up because he is turning into a werewolf.
Yes.
And he doesn't want to be, you know, roaming the streets when that happens. And he's begging for them to lock him away so that he is locked up when he does turn into a werewolf. But it takes a bit of a turn.
There's several questions I have about the scene. This is the one thing, the one gripe I had with this entire film was this. One, if there's a crazy man yelling at you to lock him up, just lock him up. just put him in a cell for the night. It's what he wants. It's probably for the best, you know. Two, why hasn't this happened before? Fun fact, a full moon comes more than once every 100 years. So why hasn't the werewolf, you know, come into a police station before this movie started? Has he just appeared with Dracula? Is that how it works?
I think that's it.
Anyway, they also handle this situation quite poorly because he gets out of control and then they just shoot him. And it's like, what? How did it escalate to this immediately? He was literally asking to be put in a cell. You're right there. How have you not managed to... anyway, cops don't do so good for this poor man.
They don't.
He just wanted to be locked up in a cell. Why just lock up the crazy man in a cell?
They then run to another call, which is that a 2,000-year-old mummy appears to have walked out of a museum. And what do? They just make jokes at the poor security man. They just make fun of him for like 2 minutes straight.
A 200-year-old dead man don't just get up and walk away by themselves.
that was such a great code as well.
What did you think of the mummy outfit?
Oh, it was so good. Very traditional mummy. It was wonderful.
Yeah. I like how the werewolf is like invincible except for silver bullets. Like he literally gets blown up at one point and he's fine.
Yes.
Dracula like needs to be staked and has garlic and other things, but otherwise it's this kick-ass thing. And just the mummy and the fish man are so easy to defeat. you just grab a bit of the mummy's wraps and you unwrap him, or you just shoot the fish man. That's their weakness. I feel like there's a power level scale for some of these.
Definitely. Compared to Wolfman and Dracula, yeah. there's definitely yeah, yeah.
it. I feel like Frankenstein somewhere in the middle, you know?
Definitely.
But yeah.
So all the kids, they get together, and the dog as well. Somehow the dog gets up in the treehouse.
It was one of them going to be my gripes, but literally later on, the Rudy says, how does the dog get up here anyway? They don't address it, but, you know, at least they point it out.
Yeah, they make a brief comment on it and then just continue on. Yeah.
What do you think? Is it like a Crypto the Super Dog sort of situation? Can this dog fly? Is it a super dog? I wouldn't put it past this movie to have a super dog in it.
Me neither, honestly.
I think one of the kids just lifts it up.
That would also make sense.
No. Flying dog.
Flying dog.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's actually a Dracula dog. That's what my thoughts are.
That feels like that should be in a movie somewhere.
That's probably a thing. It's probably a thing somewhere.
So all the boys, they go to see the old German guy. We got a great scene where he's welcomed them in, and he's standing there with his knife, and he's like, the time is almost up. It's your last chance for pie. And then he gives them all pie. He cuts the pie up with his knife. I was like, jokes. Jokes in this movie.
He was holding a knife, but the knife was to cut the pie. Whoa.
But we get a bunch of exposition about the amulet. Val, what is the deal with this amulet?
So the amulet, I believe, I don't know if I'm getting this part of it wrong, was the amulet to either like open and close the portal again?
Yes.
That is right? Because yes. I was a bit confused watching it. I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is where they're headed with it, but I wasn't 100% sure. So the monsters have decided that they need to try and hunt down this amulet. And the Monster Club have started to catch on that a bunch of weird things are happening after figuring out that Dracula was trying to call his dad. And the kid heard about the about him turning into a wolf as well, didn't he, at the police station?
Yes.
Yes.
He overhears his parents screaming at each other. And yeah. His dad's like, there was a guy who said he was a werewolf, and then he escaped the van after being shot.
So yes, they're there eating pie and talking about the amulet. I believe that's when they start to talk about what the book says.
Yes,
with
yes.
him, isn't it?
Because they've got the German guy to read the book because the book's all in German.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, because that was the other quote as well when he was like, "We've got the book," and oh, we can't read it.
Yeah, Van Helsing, this is great. This is German.
We can't read it. They just go through and read what that says. I don't remember exactly what it says in it, though.
Every 100 years, it's an amulet of pure good. Every 100 years, evil doers try to destroy it.
Yeah.
You got to open up a portal to limbo. Don't worry about it.
And how you open up the portal is a virgin has to read stuff.
Yep.
Is it specifically a virgin girl? I think it is, right?
Yeah, yeah. Virgin girl has to.
Because the whole time I was like, any of these boys could read it.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's they specifically get a girl to read it, so it must be a virgin girl.
Must be. So anyway, they need to find the amulet, which is just what Dracula has been doing.
Yeah, he's been digging up the walls, quite literally, trying to find where Van Helsing's hid the amulet. And he does.
Yeah, he does. He finds it, and he's like, I'm going to guard this place, Frankenstein's monster. I've got to talk to you for a second. You got to go find the kids and kill them. So Frankenstein heads off on a little adventure to find the kids and kill them. But little does Frankenstein know that he's about to meet his new best friends.
Yep. I love that Frankenstein's just a big softy, you know?
It was very unexpected, too, that he was just so nice and just so caring. He was just overall so nice.
He never tries to attack them, either. We just see him hanging out with the sister when they get back from...
It was just like, he's just there and he's like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing here, but this is a great time.
That's it. He just kind of rocks up and is like, oh, okay, we're best friends now. This is fine.
Yeah.
I've been sent here on a mission, but we're friends now, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, don't worry about that mission. I'm sure it wasn't important or had anything to do with you guys. You know.
The sisters taught him how to like talk as well.
Oh yeah.
So he says stuff like bogus.
Bogus.
That was great. I think that was probably one of my favorite lines in it. So unexpected.
Give me a break.
Give me a break, yes.
Yeah.
And Frankenstein's also a little bit pervy, but we'll forget about that. We won't talk about that.
Yeah, well, he's curious. He's not pervy, he's curious, because he's like, what's this camera thing? He just so happens to catch the sister again. Oh, dear. 80s.
There's a lot of, like, 80s cliches, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's another 80s cliche.
What are some other 80s cliches, Val, that come to mind when you first think of them?
Oh, puns. Yeah, always puns. And it's always, like, a pause after the pun as well. Like, it's like, that's it. They have to let it sink in, and it's almost as if, like, they're waiting for the audience reaction, even though they can't, they can't hear it, that they just will say a pun and then stop, and then just let it simmer a bit, and then continue on.
Yeah.
Real rub salt in the wounds of that one, you know? It's just like, hey, we made a pun, and you're going to sit on it for a second.
And you're going to enjoy the pun.
Yeah, we're going to pause the entire movie just so that pun really sinks in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
What about yours?
Well, montage. It's going to be a montage.
Yeah, we had a montage.
And there's a training montage.
I forgot, there's a montage. Because they've got to defeat the monsters, so they've got to get ready. Which involves Rudy doing all the hard work to, you know, kill the monsters. You know, he makes stakes, he makes silver bullets in chemistry class, he makes stakes in woodworking class, he steals a bow from the archery range that they apparently have at the school. Like, he uses all his school time. Meanwhile, what the other kids do? Oh, he writes a note.
Yeah, it was a very one-sided montage, which is very funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just Rudy doing it.
No, but they do other things in preparation. But I'm just saying, my boy Rudy, he does the real work. Let's ignore that he's a giant perv.
Now that the montage has happened, they're ready for the mission, I guess.
Good music. Good music, by the way. I think the music of this film was quite good as well.
Yeah, I agree. It was really fun.
Especially the end credit music.
That was the best.
That was groovy. That was great.
So they head off to the house, the creepy house, 666 Shadow Lane, or whatever it's called, to go and find the amulet. They walk in there with Frankenstein, but Frankenstein gets trapped because the ceiling collapses on him.
Oh, no. As they show up, Dracula's blowing up the walls of the basement to get the amulet.
Yeah.
Convenient timing. Because, like, Frankenstein takes one step in the room and then...
And then Wolfman shows up.
Oh. They combat Wolfman. My favourite, though, was how they ended up combating Dracula with the pizza, I have to say.
Oh, yeah.
The pizza to the face was so unexpected, but just so... The way it just... I wasn't expecting such a sizzle from a singular piece of garlic pizza.
Yummy.
Straight to the face.
That was so good.
And then there was Wolfman shows up and they're just screaming at him just to kick him.
Wolfman got nuts.
Wolfman got nuts, that's it. And then they're all just too busy freaking out about who's going to do it. They're like, who's going to kick him? Who's going to kick him? It's not going to work. And then one of them just like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And then they go up, they just kick him, and then they just got to run and then try and find Dracula. Yeah.
Wolfman's got nuts.
That's just dumb.
It was so funny.
So silly.
It's incredible.
Of all the things you don't expect, I think those, the garlic pizza to the face and just a swift kick to Wolfman would do the job.
It's the ultimate vampire fighting technique, garlic pizza.
I appreciated as well how they were like cornered at one point. I think it was after the garlic pizza, but Dracula was like, I need to come get you again. And Sean is like, oh, but we're standing next to a statue. Now, if I've learned anything from reading the Hardy Boys, it's that if I pull this arm, a secret passageway will open and it somehow works.
I was like, of course the movie is like, hey, they figure out that this statue has a secret thing. That's great.
It couldn't be any other way.
Anyway, they grab the amulet and they head off on the road.
Yeah, they run away with the monsters in tow, where they meet up with the rest of them.
Yeah, they meet up with the rest of the team off screen. So Rudy's gotten the sister that he's been perving on to join their crew.
So Ruby and the guy who's his sister, they blackmail the sister into coming with them because they ask if she's a virgin. She's like, yeah, sure. So they need her to read off the book. Luckily, she's been taking German class.
Exactly. Although
she has been flunking it. So they have the German guy there to help her with it.
And so they all head off in the car. They need to go somewhere special to read it. So they decide the old church, because it's religious.
Yes.
Which is the quote that we keep getting.
Perfect. Monsters hate religious stuff.
And they head off on the road. But the mummy's there.
Oh, no.
Just going for a quick stroll.
Yeah.
Just making his way across the road.
Oh, yeah. The mummy wasn't meant to attack him. He was out for his cardio, you know?
That's it, yeah. Just a quick night walk.
Yeah. When you're 200 years old. 2000, sorry.
That's it, warming up the legs a bit.
Wait, hang on. That's quite a young mummy, though. 2000 years old as of 87. That's like 87 BC.
Yeah, you know.
Which is not a very old mummy.
No, no, she's still in her prime. She's a young, hip go-getter.
Quick reflexes, too, to be able to grab onto the car like that.
Yeah, must be young if you're having such quick reflexes. You're right.
Pretty easy to defeat, though, right, Val?
Yeah, they just used, was it one of the bows and arrows to just attach it through one of the ends of where the wrapping ends and just onto a tree, and then they just pretty much just have to wait it out.
Yeah, the car drives along, it unwraps the mummy.
Unwraps, and then the poor mummy just becomes a skull and bandages on the ground.
See you later, Band-Aid breath.
That was the quote.
Yep.
I enjoyed that.
It was good. It was a nice and simple way to end the mummy there and then. How else would you end a mummy, like, without doing just the unwrap?
I don't know. How do the movies The Mummy defeat the mummy? Although that mummy's not in wrapping, so it doesn't really count.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
We also get a pretty cool scene where the cops are driving around and Dracula's car comes out of nowhere and just phases through their car. It's good.
Oh, yeah. I was like, whoa, that was a thing.
Yeah. It doesn't come back.
Finally, the dad's sort of getting in on what's happening.
I think it kind of solidified for him that monsters were real. And what had happened wasn't just a strange event.
It wasn't just a random crazy man yelling that he's a werewolf. He actually is a werewolf.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we were back to my favorite scene as well, where he purposely rips the door off the back of his car for no apparent reason.
Yep.
He's like,
I was a little cranky.
I need this dynamite. The back door's got to go.
That was very dramatic. Although, I guess if it's a ghost car, you can do whatever you want to it and it'll come back eventually, maybe.
Yeah, maybe it can regenerate the boot. It's like, he just does it for dramatic effect every time. He just rips off the boot to open it. You know, he's doing groceries, rips off the boot.
Yeah.
Before you hit one trip or die trying.
Yeah, he grabs the dynamite out of the boot just so he can blow up the Monster Club treehouse. Just out of spite.
He was so petty.
I love Dracula in this movie. This is my favorite. He's my favorite.
I have to agree.
He's a little bit petty. He's just a little evil, you know. He just wants this amulet. But the way he gets there is through dynamite. He just blows everything up.
Yeah.
It's the most modern thing he knows how to use, and it's quite effective.
It is better than Dracula with a machine gun, but also I would watch this version of Dracula with a machine gun.
Yeah. I feel like if he had enough time, he would definitely use a gun.
Yeah.
The monster hunters come around, they start, you know, shooting at him. He's like, I can do that too.
I feel like this Dracula is petty, like petty enough and evil enough to just kind of do like anything he would do at this point in time. He just wants his amulet.
I feel like he would turn into a gangster eventually if left alone. He would just become a crime lord.
Yeah, I'm just picturing Dracula. I say hello to I can't do the accent.
Say hello to my little friend.
Just Scarface, but it's Dracula.
Hell yeah. That'd be sick.
They reach the old church, but it's locked.
Don't kick the church. It's religious.
Exactly. He's going to go kick the door open, but they say, don't kick the church. It's religious. Which is just out of context, the best line.
Yeah, it's religious. You can't kick it.
The best lines have just been coming out of the blue, like this whole movie. Mm. It's when you least expect them. And it's just it's just that level of cringy pun and that just makes it so good and just so well placed.
this movie had a lot of quotes. I don't think I've written down as many quotes for any movie that we've ever done except for this movie.
Yeah, there were a lot, especially it's like one of the shortest movies we've ever done.
It's very condensed in its movie quotes.
Wolfman's family have been turned into vampires, and they show up in the street outside the church, and they attack Rudy. He's gonna fight them off with his arrows.
Yeah. He's got the stakes that he prepared in wood class earlier. He's gotta kill some vampires. So he does.
He does.
Good on you, Rudy.
Which I guess means, that whole family is just gone now. They couldn't bring him back. That's a bit sad.
Yeah, and I think at that point he was officially part of the Monster Squad too, at that point. He was he's officially in the club.
We get that part as well where they have a bit of a fight with Dracula in like an abandoned warehouse. Yeah.
And Dracula smashes through a window because he gets shot while flying. And then the cop comes up and we see a half-bat vampire Dracula.
Mm.
That was gross.
Half-Batman? Isn't that just George Clooney?
We gotta leave a long pause there.
That's it. To stay true to the movie, we just have to leave a brief pause there just to let that one sink in.
But yeah, then to protect Dracula, because he's in quite a vulnerable position, Wolfman shows up. And they throw him out the window with a stick of dynamite, blow him up.
Boof.
Yeah, that was very sudden, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He's just all of a sudden just yeeted out a window.
And we see, like, the gory aftermath as well of just hairy limbs everywhere.
On the ground.
Ah, but that's not the way you kill a werewolf.
Exactly.
We know there's only two ways. Killing them with a bullet, a silver bullet, and something else. We don't know the other one.
Dynamite is not it.
No, that's right. We did get a Chekhov's How to Kill a Werewolf in this movie. We were told at the start of the movie, and then it comes back later.
But we see his limbs. He's not dead. They shoot back together. I love how they just, like, flew back to him.
Yeah.
And he's back. He's alive. He survived the explosion.
Val, they're trying to open up the void thing with the portal, but it's not working, right?
It's not working at all.
Why is that? That's crazy. Why is that happening?
It is not working. It is at that point they find out that the girl I've got to read it is not a virgin.
Oh no!
She was just going with it because of the blackmail. Then they kind of freak out because the monsters are getting close. They end up getting the little girl to read it instead, but they have to get the man to say it first so that she can repeat it for it to work.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, you've got the German guy, like, dictating to the child so she can read it out.
Which is good, because, like, at the start of the movie, she's trying to get into the club, and here she is a part of the club. She's saving the world. It was a good character arc.
Yeah.
But Gilman shows up and they're all like, oh no, Gilman. So the kid who has not been named yet grabs a shotgun and blows the Gilman away.
And then the bullies are like, hey, fat kid, nice work.
And he's like, that's not my name. My name is Chick Chick Horace.
Hell yeah, badass.
But oh no, Dracula's arrived. They've gotten rid of all of them aside from Wolfman.
And Dracula. Werewolf starts, like, yeeting cops around, as he's good at. It's been shown before that he can yeet a cop around.
Wolfman, more like yeet man. No. No.
Leave a dramatic pause there for that.
Let it simmer. That's it. He's just throwing people around. He doesn't care. He's just trying to get the amulet as well. They're just yeeting people left, right, and center. As Dracula has his slow walk, of course. He can't run. Mm. Never in a rush. Slowly making his way over.
This was a sick scene. I love that scene where Dracula's just casually walking towards the German guy and the little girl, like, reading for the book. And the German guy's like, don't look. And Dracula's just slowly walking while all these cops are just running at him, trying to stop him. And he, without even looking, he just throws them around.
And he grabs the sister. And we're like, oh no, what's going to happen here? But then Frank shows up. Good old Frank shows up.
Fergus.
And he picks up Dracula and he throws him onto a metal fence. And then they manage to open up the portal.
But there's one last thing, because Dracula, you know, he's a spiteful one, you know. If he's gonna die, he's gonna take that one random child that caused all this with him. So he jumps on him and drags the child with him as they're being sucked into the portal. But the kid manages to get one of the stakes, stabs Dracula. Dracula's like, ah, and he lets go. And who shows up but Van Helsing?
Yep.
He's there somehow. He somehow shows up, probably from the portal, question mark?
I guess.
I don't know. He popped out from the portal to grab Dracula, gives a big old thumbs up. Catch you on the flippadip.
We did it!
Nice. And he pulls Dracula into the portal, but then Frankenstein's gotta say goodbye. It's so sad.
Oh, and then he just, yeah, and gets pulled away into the portal as well. That was so sad. I wanted him to stay. He just wanted to be friends with everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd watch that movie.
Yeah. Frankenstein and the Monster Squad.
So with the world saved, now's when the army shows up and they're like,
yeah, of course.
What's happened here?
From the stray note that was just written to them earlier on.
Oh, right. Yeah. The kid sends a letter.
That's right, yep.
I forgot about that. So that's why the army showed up.
They briefly show him just writing a letter to the army. Something along the lines of, Dear Army, monsters are here, or something like that. And then it's, please help. And then they show up right at the end.
And they're like, what happened here? Who happened here? And the kids give the army men their card. Which
apparently says, Monster Squad on it. Yeah, and then they're like, we're the Monster Squad.
Here's our business cards we prepared earlier.
Hire us. We just killed off our last gig. We need some hiring.
The portal ends up closing as well. Does the portal close before or after the army shows up? Did they end up seeing any of it?
Nope, the army doesn't see any of it.
Poor army. I didn't realize. I thought they'd seen part of it. Why did they show up so late?
I don't know. Why did they show up at all? Kid just sent them.
Yeah, no, that's more of a question. Why did they show up when a kid sent them a note that said, please help, there's monsters.
Monsters are here. What was after that?
It was the credits.
The credits song.
Oh, I was too busy grooving out to that song. It was, actually, the music throughout the whole show was really well done.
Mm. Mm.
I think they managed to make it fit the scenes really well, and it just set the tone for a lot of the scenes perfectly.
Mm.
It was amazing. What did you guys think?
I love a good rap song about the movie at the end of the movie. It's always very funny. There's one Nightmare on Elm Street film that does it. Can't remember which one, but it's great.
Monster Squad. The Monster Squad, gonna get him tonight.
Great.
I loved it.
And that's the Monster Squad right there. Would you rate it out of our two ratings, Val? Is it an oldie or is it a goodie?
Ooh. If I could combine the two.
Oh.
It is indeed an oldie but a goodie.
Hey.
I had to.
Aha, I had that's to. The name of the show.
Exactly. I had to throw in a pun of my own.
Everybody, pause.
That's it. You have to pause.
Oh, yeah. We got to pause for laughter.
There we go. And then it settled in. Nice, nice, nice.
What do you think, Zach?
Oh, I'm giving it a goodie. I love this movie. This is fantastic. This was way better. This was way better than I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to be standing before you today and putting out all the gripes. Because that's the thing. This movie, I didn't have anything that I had gripes with. So it's definitely a goodie for me. Definitely a goodie.
Yeah, I'll go goodie as well, actually. Just compared to a lot of the stuff we've seen this year, this is very funny.
This is leagues.
That's it. They really lean into the humor a lot in it, I think, which is what makes it so good.
It could have maybe been, I don't know if it could have been longer, though. It was very well paced. There was some stuff that was maybe missing, but...
Yeah, the explanation for a few things, I think, because some of the movie just kind of sitting there going, wait, why is this happening? Who's this? Why are they here? Like that kind of thing. Mm. Why did they show up when they did? Kind of thing. I think other than that, though, it was fun. It was a fun movie. Yeah.
Maybe add in a scene where the army's discussing whether or not they should answer this note.
How did he have business cards at the ready for the army?
It must have been what he was doing in the montage, writing business cards.
That's it.
Two goodies and an oldie but a goodie, which is the name of the show, which is perfect.
Which is the name of the show, yes.
Excellent. All right, well, the next segment we do is just a quick one. Val, if you were to pick one thing to add to the movie to make it a bit better, and then one thing to remove from the movie to make it a bit better, what would you choose?
I think to add would probably be to what I was just saying before about more of an explanation of just a couple of things, of just why, like, some of the things in the movie happened, I think would make it that little bit better than what it was, I think. And also, I reckon if Wolfman was a little bit, like, scarier in terms of just him yeeting people, I reckon that those two things to add. To remove, though, that's a hard one.
I've got a suggestion.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What would it be?
All the pervy shots of the sister. Can we just get that, remove that?
That served no purpose at all. So that, yeah.
Yeah, just yeet that. Like a Wolfman, it gets yeeted.
Yeet it, exactly.
Yeah.
What would you guys say to add and remove?
What would I add?
I think it's hard to add things because, like, the explanations would be good.
It's a good movie.
Maybe I would add Dracula being a vampire once.
Yeah, but it's a kid's film, so, you know, they were trying to avoid that.
You don't have to show anything, though. Or maybe just, like, one line where it, like, references I want to suck your blood thing or something could be funny.
You know what I want? I want Fishman to do anything in the film. Yeah, I would have liked him to, you know, pop through a sewer grate and, like, I don't know, sabotaging a car or something. You know, do something. Fishman was, his job was getting shot by Horace.
Yeah, he threw the sewer grate thing off and then just kind of walked towards them and then died by the time he got there.
Yeah, if they had some sort of water-related thing where maybe he got a boat, maybe their dad owns a boat, I don't know. Just anything for my poor boy, Fishman. He got the short end of the shotgun.
Yeah, he got the short reed of the swamp.
Oh, yeah. I like that one. I like that one.
And what I would remove, going along the lines of the pervy shots, is the homophobic slurs.
Yeah, get rid of that.
That the kids say at the start.
Both of those things can be removed.
Because that's the thing. It's like, this is a pretty good kids movie, but there's a couple things in there that we probably don't want young, susceptible minds to watch.
Didn't age well.
But anyway, there has been talks about a remake.
Yeah.
In 2008, Paramount was developing a remake, but they were developing it with Michael Bay's production company.
Oh. Well, that is in Dracula's forte.
Well, that's true. Lots of explosions.
Yep.
The fans were like, please no. And so it was cancelled in 2014.
Oh. Oh, no.
But would you want to see a remake?
I reckon, yeah. I think it'd be fun. With today's, like, makeup and special effects and video effects they can do, I think it could be fun. But also in saying that, it seems to be like a bit of a cool cult classic, so maybe not at the same time.
Yeah, let sleeping classics lie.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn. Kind of torn. What do you guys think?
I think it could go either way. It would be either really good or really bad.
Exactly. I don't think there would be a middle ground. It'd just be either amazing or everyone would just be like, why was this remade?
Yeah, like, it could turn out to be it or a Stranger Things sort of vibe, which could be fun. Yeah. Or then it could also be, I don't know if you saw Fear the Street, thing. Val. I did. I didn't love it.
I enjoyed Fear Street. I think for Fear Street, I just kind of enjoyed it for what it was. I tried not to pick it apart too much. Mm. I was like, it's a horror movie that Netflix have done. It's fine. It's just fun.
Yeah,
I can enjoy it.
That one death. Woo!
I think I know the one you're talking about too. And that was, that was a lot.
Anyway, Zach, next segment.
It is time for... It's hard to do that with the accent. Raving reviews. So this is part of the show where I get reviews from Rotten Tomatoes audience score. And I tell you the review. And because this is a guest episode, Sandra and Val will have to battle it out to see who can guess the score. The scores go between 0.5 and 5.
Okay.
So for example, like, someone can rate it 0.5, which is the lowest possible. Someone can rate it 4.5, 3.5, or just 3 or 5 out of 5. Are you both ready?
Yes.
Indeed.
The first review comes from Matthew, who says, this is a kid's film? This is a childish, mature film? I don't know, but I freaking love it.
That was golden.
So Sandro, what do you think they rated it?
3.5 for me,
3.5.
Okay. I reckon, based on the wording, I reckon he gave it a 4.5.
A 4.5, okay. Well, it's a 4.5.
Hey. Oh, is it?
Val immediately on the board.
Yes.
Look at that.
Cracking it. Wow, that was impressive. Good stuff.
It sounded too good to be true. I'm like, this guy's not going to find any flaws in this movie. He's just going to love it for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you might like Kerry's review then, who said 5 out of 10.
Oh, no.
50 out of 100, full stop. That's it. That's the review.
Okay. That one's a bit of a harder one. 50 out of 100. I guess if we're tracking along here and my math is correct, a 2.5.
Yeah, okay. That's some good math.
That would be, yes, what it should be.
but this is the audience score, so it could be anything.
It's always a 50-50 with these ones that they either forgot to rate it or just put the rating in their review, or they did rate it what they said it was in their review. I'm going to go 3 out of 5 for this.
Well, it's actually 2.5.
Yes! Out
of
5.
Of course, it's 50-50. Yeah. It's just basic math, Sandra. How did you fail that one? Oh, this one I have a good voice for.
Oh, no.
Your next review comes from Adam, who says, "A crack team of well-known monsters are brought to life here just to chase after some 12-year-old kids. Nonsense."
Nonsense.
Nonsense.
It's Nigel Thornberry. Nigel Thornberry did the review.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Nonsense leans towards negative. Mm. But I really hope this person liked it. But yeah, I think it's negative. I'll go like 2.5. I don't think nonsense is like super negative. Mm. So I'll go 2.5.
I reckon this person despised the movie by the sounds of it. I'm going to go a 1.
Ooh, you're very close. It's actually a 1.5. Ooh, you were on the right lines, though. Yes, you were very close. We had Jeff, who says, "I have one main problem with this film. Why was Dracula using dynamite so much?"
That is a good question. I'm going to guess a 3. Yeah, I reckon in the middle.
They're saying one main problem. I'm going to go 4, actually. I know it's a bit high, but I'm just going to go for it.
Well, that's unfortunate, because it was actually a 3 out of 5.
Yes!
Another point!
Yes!
Oh, my goodness. Sandra, oh, wow. You are getting destroyed.
Val is great at this.
You still have a chance to catch up.
Do I?
Yes. Yes, you do. Just, I think.
Val's 3 points ahead.
You have to get the next of them correct.
Ah, okay.
So we have Mark, who says, "The hell was the point of this, and why did it make me smile?"
I love that. Just utter confusion with enjoyment.
Yes.
it's like I have no idea what happened, but I liked it. Yeah. I'm going to go 4.
I'm going to go 3.
Well, unfortunately, it's 2.5.
Oh, no!
But you could still tie it, Sandres.
Okay.
We have Tara, who says, "A great movie to watch with your children. Mild language."
Yeah.
Oh, is that, cool. Is that it? I'm going to go with a 4 again. It's a great, great movie. Bumps up the points a bit, but mild language would take the points off.
That makes sense.
So I reckon it's either going to be, 3.5 or 4, but I'm going to stick with 4.
I might snatch up that 3.5, actually. That's what I was thinking as well.
Well, it was actually a 4.5.
Oh!
You were very close. Very close. That's why I have bad news. There's not much chance of catching up.
Look, this is a losing battle right now, so we'll...
Yeah. I hate to break it to you. Unless you get this point right and I do a sneaky double points at the end, then there's not much chance for you. So, Alexandra says, "Mixed movie reviews."
What?
That leads me to think it'd be in the middle, so 3. Even 3.
Yeah, this is an odd one.
Yeah.
Even this is like a new level of what? I'll go 2.5.
It was 3 out of 5. So even if I do double points for the end, which I will, there's literally no possible way of you even tying it, Sandro. So for the final one, we have Anthony, who said, "A Classic.
I have no doubt that this guy's giving it a 5 out of 5. No doubt.
Yeah. You know what? Because there's no point I can come back from this. I'm also going 5 out of 5.
It's 5 out of 5. Yes.
Yeah. I knew it. There was way too many doubled letters in there to it not be a perfect score.
Yeah. Well, with that, I just get on the board with some bonus points.
You're on the board at least. You're on the board at least.
By piggybacking. Of Val, who has 6 points.
Whoa.
Yes.
Destroying Sandra this week. Huge, my goodness, that was huge, a huge numbers. Amount of points.
I just tried to think about what someone would try and convert the words to in a number.
Yeah, that was good. You did well. Well done.
All right. Well, that is the episode right there. Thank you so much for joining us, Val. If people want to check out your stuff, where can they find it?
Oh, thank you for having me. Twitch.tv/Valaris and Valaris on all the other things except Twitter. That is Valaris TTV because someone else has Valaris at the moment. That is a dead account.
And you stream, it's 4 days a week, right?
It is, yeah. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Excellent. Go check it out. Go say hi. It's a lot of fun over there. Links in the episode description. Just like links to our socials. We're on Instagram as well and Facebook for... just notifications on new episodes. Plus, our Patreon is up. There's a new episode up there right now, which is a bonus battle where we pick two movies that are very similar and we battle them out. You were joined by a guest, Ben Volchok, this week.
It was Blood Feast versus Blood Diner, and they were some bloody messy films filled with gore. Definitely a different rating from this film. This film, PG, that film, R. It very different types of film.
Very, very different. A very gory.
Very gory.
Little bonus battle. I say little and it ended up being quite long, but that's up there right now. Link in the episode description if you want to check that out. Help keep the lights on for the show. And I think that means that's all that's left is a choice.
That you have to pick the next movie for next week.
Ooh.
All right. So the first movie is The Big Easy. It is a cop movie about solving murders and hunting down gangs.
You're really just committing to this.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to give up by the third one, I assure you. But yeah, it's a cop movie about solving murders and hunting down gangs.
Yeah, crime. Lots of crimes in 87, lots of crimes.
Born in East LA, comedian Chech Martin is mistaken for an illegal alien and is deported. Dirty Dancing, a movie about dancing dirty. Apparently it's quite good.
Yeah, it is good.
We have Inside Out, not the Pixar movie.
Oh.
Not the Pixar movie. It's about a guy who has a phobia of going outside. However, his friends wanna help him get over his fears.
That sounds sad.
Speaking of sad, Friendship's Death. Aliens send a female android diplomat to Earth on a mission of peace.
Oh.
She lands in a war-torn Palestine and befriends a journalist. That was not where I was expecting that to go.
Okay.
We have The Garbage Pail Kids Movie, which is a live-action movie based off the Garbage Pail Kids toy line.
Is that like Cabbage Patch Kids?
Yes, but they're I believe those are the gross ones. They're like, they were a parody of them.
Oh.
And Hamlet Goes Business, a modern retelling of Hamlet, is about a finished wood processing business.
Those are some wild options. Are there any jumping out at you from those, Val?
Ooh, there's a few. They all seem very interesting, though. I would be curious to see what you guys think of a modern retelling of Hamlet, honestly.
That would be interesting.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
My vote will go to Hamlet Goes Business.
Hamlet Goes Business. Yeah, that seems really interesting. The Friendship's Death one as well. I'm like, that's different. That's really different. That sounds fun. Dirty Dancing is a classic, but I've seen that before, so...
Yeah. No. We don't want classics on the show. We want, I mean, we did a good movie this week. We need to do something...
You want to do something bad? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying saying that. I'm just saying we should do something different.
Yeah, I'm going to rule out Dirty Dancing because we have done a lot of, like, blockbuster movies lately, yeah. And that's quite a popular film, so let's not do that one. We might save that for Patreon.
Maybe save that for a Patreon, yeah.
You're saying Hamlet Goes Business, but I'm honestly leaning towards Garbage Pail Kids.
What? Why are you leaning towards that one?
If you want to, absolutely.
Can't be that bad, right?
This is the biggest risk I think I've ever taken. Let's do a Garbage Pail Kids movie.
I'm sure I'll be fine. Another kids movie. We're doing well on kids movies, right?
Yeah, we did He-Man last week. Now this one.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, no, it wasn't. It was quite bad, actually.
But this movie was pretty good.
All right, we wrap up the show with the best quote from The Monster Squad. What have you got, Val? What's your favorite quote from this movie?
Oh, there were so many good quotes.
Oh, my God, there was so many. It would probably have to be Frankenstein saying bogus. or see you later, Band-Aid breath.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My name is Horace. Chick Chick was a very badass moment, but it's got to be don't kick the church, it's religious. That's just out of context. What the hell is that line?
You know what I think? I think science is cool. I dig it, man.
Never forget that one. That was so golden. Mm.
Or, come on, don't be chicken shit.
Oh, too good.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.